Here's chapter 3 of the audiobook, and take their life, Martin Luther's Theology of Martyrdom by me, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, but mostly Luther. This is the last chapter. It's a short chapter on martyrs for pastors, but it's not just for pastors. Martyrs for Christians, really. How the martyrs teach us joy and suffering, patience and affliction, and all that kind of stuff. So here it is. Hope you enjoy it. If you got any ideas of what to do with the recording of the audiobook, where to put it, I think I'll probably put it up on wolfmuller.co, but you can let me know if you've got any ideas as well. Well, here's chapter 3. And take they our life, Martin Luther's Theology of Martyrdom, by me, Pastor Brian Wolfmuller, mostly by Martin Luther. Chapter 3. They loved not their lives unto death, martyrs for pastors. Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado doesn't have air conditioning. This should not dissuade you from visiting whenever you're in town. One particularly hot Sunday morning, the people looked wilted. They had melted in their faces as I made the announcements after the service were full of expectant suffering. So I told them the story of Romanus. Romanus went to Antioch to encourage the Christians who were suffering there. He was arrested and beaten. He preached to the proconsul, who was so enraged that he had Romanus's skin scraped off with the side of a sword. He still preached so that the soldiers struck his face, knocked out his teeth, tore out his beard, scratched his eyelids. Still he preached and confessed Christ. The proconsul ordered his cheeks to be cut open. They were, and Romanus said, "I thank you, sir, for giving me more mouths to praise my God." They tried to set him on fire, but the fire wouldn't start, so they threw him in prison, where he died a few days later. "If our brother Romanus can endure all that," I concluded, "we can make it through a hot service." Nobody complained about the heat that day. Now, I'm pretty sure that is a bad use of the martyrs, but I do think it sets us off in the right direction. The martyrs give us courage. Hebrews 12 reminds us that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. They are cheering us on as we labor to finish our race. They are singing the distant triumph song whose conquering strains strengthen our hearts and bodies. The martyrs remind us that we have not yet suffered to the point of shedding blood. The martyrs remind us that we are not alone in the struggle, that we don't suffer alone, that we're not the first to walk this narrow path. Quote, "Thereupon we should encourage and arouse ourselves by such examples to bear any difficulties, dangers, and griefs. But if we're killed, it's certain that by this means we are truly liberated and rescued from all evils. Just as no evil at all befell the martyrs in former times, but they obtained the end of their troubles. But if we are preserved, we should persevere and wait in hope and faith. For God does not hate us or turn us away in hostile fashion, no matter how he may conduct himself toward us otherwise. Let us rather conclude, I know that I have been baptized, that I have eaten the body and drunk the blood of the Son of God, that I have been absolved by divine authority, that all my sins have certainly been forgiven me, and that victory over the devil, death, and hell has been promised me. What more should I ask for?" Martin Luther on Genesis 41, verses 1 to 7, around the year 1545. Our Lutheran theology is rightly cautious about the cult of the saints, the superstitious and idolatrous practice of elevating the saints to an office and glory they do not have. The martyrs did not save themselves, and they cannot save us. They were sinners, rescued by Jesus, like us. We do not look to them for help or intercession. We look with them to our Lord Jesus for help and intercession. We want to approach our consideration of the saints and the martyrs with caution, careful to avoid giving them the glory due to Jesus. But we are also cautious not to forget them. We want to remember that the Lord gave the martyrs as a gift to the church. Our Lutheran confessions outline a threefold honor due the saints. Quote, "Our confession approves giving honor to the saints. This honor is threefold. The first is thanksgiving. We should thank God for showing examples of his mercy, revealing his will to save men, and giving teachers and other gifts to the church. Since these are his greatest gifts, we should extol them very highly. We should also praise the saints themselves for using these gifts, just as Christ praises faithful businessmen, Matthew 25. The second honor is the strengthening of our faith. When we see Peter forgiven after his denial, we are encouraged to believe that grace does indeed abound more than sin, Romans 5:20. The third honor is imitation, first of their faith and then of their other virtues, which each should imitate in accordance with his calling. The Apology of the Augsburg Confession, Article 21. First, then, we thank God for giving the gift of martyrs to the church and preserving their history for us. Second, we're encouraged when we hear of the martyrs suffering such great things for the name of Christ. Third, we follow after the martyrs, both in their believing and their living and their dying. They are our heroes. Christians, after all, also need heroes. It has been said you can learn anything you need to know about a person when you know who their hero is. Our heroes stand before our minds and imaginations as pictures of lives well lived. Knowingly or unknowingly, we act and talk and think like our heroes, or at least we try. Part of our Christian life is being aware of our heroes, and part of pastoral care is cultivating the right heroes for the congregation. This is especially important in our modern context. We live in an anti-heroic age. There is a systemic dismantling of any hero. Our culture is hell-bent on tearing down any person of greatness from their pedestal. We prefer to look down on rather than look up to. Consider, as an example, the refrain concerning the American founders, that they were all slaveholders. Progressivism attacks history. The future must be exalted, and the past, therefore, must be brought low. This is dangerous. We all need heroes. We all need champions. The martyrs and confessors are the Christian heroes. They are the race finishers. They have that for which we still endeavor. Their stories help us make sense of our own troubles. The histories of the martyrs teach us wisdom to face our own suffering. The courage and joy of the martyrs remind us that there is a better way to die. But the martyrs can also be intimidating. When we hear of Agnes and Agatha dancing to the fire, we think, I could never do that. I'm afraid. My faith is weak. The martyrs, we must remember, were not superheroes. They also were afraid. They also were weak. It was the Holy Spirit who gave them strength they needed when they needed it, and not before. And the same Holy Spirit is at work with us. We should not be afraid of the hour of death. The martyrs are not examples of great people with great strength and great faith. The martyrs are examples of God's great provision in our time of need. Here's how Jesus comforts us. Quote, Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Matthew 10, verses 16 to 20. Do not be anxious, Jesus says. Jesus commands. The Holy Spirit provides the faith and the wisdom for such an hour of trouble. The martyrs help us put things in perspective. I often hear people say, It helps me to remember that someone is always worse off than me. I suppose that's true. The martyrs were bad off. We might be ridiculed for our faith, but at least our heads are still attached. But I think there is something more. The suffering of the martyrs is not put before us to engender sympathy. They certainly wouldn't think so. They are the blessed. They consider themselves blessed in both their suffering and their death. The martyrs glory in their tribulation, Romans 5:3. They have counted it all joy to have fallen into various trials, James 1:2. All joy, that's what the text says. The martyrs follow the footsteps of the apostles who left their beating by the Sanhedrin, quote, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name, Acts 5:41. Peter says, Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or an evildoer, or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. 1 Peter 4, 12-16. The martyrs are boasting in their death. They are glorying in their weakness. They are praising God with their blood. They leaned into their suffering because they knew that the mercy of Christ would catch them. It's true, sometimes the martyrs seem a little too excited to die. We wonder at Perpetua guiding the sword to her own neck. The cross will come. We don't need to go looking for it. But the martyrs were right that the best is yet to come, that death is the last enemy to be conquered, and that the gloomy portal leads to bliss untold. The martyrs knew that to suffer in the name of Christ was good. They knew that to die in the name of Jesus was good and blessed. May we also remember this. Paul wrote to the Philippians, "For to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain." Philippians 1:21. This is true for all the baptized. Our death is gain. This is the right perspective taught to us by the martyrs. They remind us that we are free to suffer, free to die, free from the fear of death. In an astonishing passage in Hebrews 2, we hear, quote, "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death are subject to lifelong slavery." Hebrews 2:14-15. If we begin at the end of that verse, we notice that the fear of death makes us slaves to the devil. This should be noted well and preached often. When we are afraid of death, we are bound. We are slaves of the devil. The obvious example of how this works is put before us in the persecution of the church. The Christians were brought before the proconsul and given the option, idolatry or death. Offer this little pinch of incense, or we will set you on fire. Say, Caesar is Lord, or we will throw you to the lions. Idolatry or death, and the fear of death would oftentimes push the Christians into idolatry, into denying Christ, but not the martyrs. The fear of death had been crucified with Christ. In his death, back to Hebrews 2, Jesus destroyed the one who wielded the power of death. The strength of death is the law and sin, but the death of Jesus forgives sins. And in this forgiveness, death loses its strength. The devil loses his power. Where the forgiveness of sins is found, there also is life and salvation. Freedom from the fear of death is freedom from the devil's tyranny and more. Freedom from the fear of death is a triumph over the devil. Revelation 12 shows us the vision of the saints and martyrs triumphing over the devil. Quote, "And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death." Revelation 12:11. Quote, "In this manner, the saintly martyrs overcame death and all dangers, for they were sure that God was kind to them." Martin Luther on Genesis 19, verse 10, around 1539. In this world we will have tribulation. It is appointed for each one of us to die. How do we suffer and die well? How do pastors teach their people to suffer and die? The martyrs remind us to keep our eyes on the prize. Jesus waits on the other side of death. Our race ends in His arms. This light and momentary affliction will soon give way to an eternal splendor. The martyrs are part of that great cloud of witnesses, cheering us on. "Keep the faith," they say. "You can make it." It might soon be time for us to suffer and die. Christ has suffered and died for us, and our martyrs' confidence
is in Him. Christ is our Savior. He is risen, and He will welcome us into His kingdom. Quote, "It is high time that we earnestly pray God that He hallow His name, but it will cost blood. And those who enjoy the inheritance of the holy martyrs, the inheritance which was won with the blood of the martyrs, must in their turn take on the role of martyr." Martin Luther, Treatise on Good Works, 1520. Here ends chapter 3 of And Take Their Life, Martin Luther's Theology of Martyrdom. They love not their lives unto death, martyrs for pastors. I'm Pastor Brian Wolfmuller. I hope this text was an encouragement to you. It's about time to write another book, I think, now that I finished reading this one. That last part, by the way, when I got sick with COVID this summer, I was reading this book to see if I knew how to read, and I could see how I was forgetting how to read and remembering and all that sort of stuff. But I'll tell you what, there wasn't anything better to read when you were sick and right on the edge of life and so forth to read all these encouraging scripture quotations and all these encouraging sermons from Luther about how it is that we suffer. And it's what it means to be a Christian. God be praised. That the Lord is with us in trouble. So anyway, brought back some great memories reading this to you. Hope you enjoyed it. Best way to keep in touch, by the way, wolfmuller.co is the website. And you can sign up for Wednesday Whatnot. It's Wednesday here pretty soon. I got to get that together. But every month we give away some free books. And every Wednesday send out some free stuff. Theology and articles and everything like that. It's like throwing theological logs on the fire of your imagination. I just want to keep that fire burning bright. So that's what the Wednesday Whatnot's for. I'd love to hear from you. Keep in touch. wolfmuller.co/contact is the best way to do that. Otherwise, thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing if it's helpful. Love to hear your comments, and God's peace be with you.